Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 374. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffey is with me here in the beautiful, all brand new, luxurious, updated 2.0 Casa de Cole Coffey.
Every time you say it, it makes you think like, but I haven't done anything since the last time. Is it really updated? I did vacuum the floors, even though it doesn't look like it, because the cat destroys the floor and the dog hair gets everywhere.
Get on the staff over here, man. I'm slipping a little bit.
Staff, where are you? The staff is me, as you see my little vacuum clean over there. That has been like the greatest thing that I purchased recently. It's like, so I bought the vacuum to do the stairs,
right?
But the way that that little brush thing works, it's cordless, so I just have to charge it. It works perfect on using on the floor to like pick up the dog hair and like all the other little shit.
Well, these hardwood floors, man, they get kind of they
well,
show the
yeah,
dust.
You know, I would get down there and buff it up, but you know, but no, it is. I don't mind. Like that's like my Sunday routine. You know, when I let the staff off, so then I gotta give them that one day. So I'll run through and like do it. And there's something, you know, when I was younger, cleaning was never ever. I don't know if anybody ever really takes like pleasure when you're young, like cleaning.
No,
it's just a torture.
Not.
It's a chore.
100%.
Now when I do it, like on Sundays when I got some time and I do it and I see that the floor looks good and then like the sitting areas look good, I'm like, good job. And I take pleasure in it, and I'm like, when did that happen? Like, when did the switch happen?
You're adulting now.
I'm adulting. just a little bit on Sunday. There's like an hour on Sunday where I'm cleaning. I'm adulting. But yeah, no, I don't know. It feels good. I'm not sure when it happened, but you know, I think it did once the 2.0, once the new Casa came up. It was like, you know, you want to keep it a little bit.
Take some pride in a nice place like this, man. I mean, not that the other Casa de Cole Coffey
wasn't
incredible.
It worked. I tell you, when I went over in the old neighborhood today to go see a movie with the old Powell Station, and I would lie if I didn't get like nostalgic when I drive through the neighborhood. Like when I drive through those streets, I feel like I could do it with my eyes closed.
Right.
I've lived over there for so long. So, you know, going over there, there was part of me was like, should I drive by just to see it? And I was like, no, what's that going to do?
10 years, right? 10 years.
Yeah,
I mean, look, not to be crazy, but like that's almost a quarter of your life. Like, not quite, but I mean, that's a big significant section of time.
Yeah, it really, really is. But oh well.
Cool movie theater, by the way. If you're ever looking for a movie theater, a little behind the scenes recommendation for non locals, whatever. For some reason, while you're in Vegas, you want to see a movie, which I get. There's a lot of other things to do than go see a movie.
Sometimes you might want to just switch it up.
That's what I'm saying. If you just want to stay out of the club for a little bit or whatever, go over to the Cinebar at Palace Station. It is a cool little movie theater, and I'm not a huge movie theater guy. But it's just, man, they got the nice recliners with the power seats.
Yeah.
They'll deliver some frosty beverages to your seat.
You got a little tray,
I mean,
that swivels in and out at your thing, so they'll bring you nice food. Like, the food's actually pretty decent, too.
Yeah.
Today I just had popcorn because, you know, trying to watch that fit, trying to watch that weight,
even though I
did have butter on it and stuff. But.
Oh, look, I threw some butter on it. Look at this. This is a whole new guy. I'm sitting here with a couple of frosty beverages in front of me. He's got a jug of water over there. Like, I promise that we're not going to do the weekly cold coffee training report. I understand that that's not what we're here. But
no.
3 days in, I know the folks want to hear a little bit. I mean, how hard has this 3 days been versus your expectations?
It's every bit as hard as I kind of thought. I don't know if I thought it would be easier. I think I thought it would have been like, oh man, I can't wait to get in there and hit mitts, man, and start doing. It was like, we're doing cardio. We're doing warm-ups. Like, the warm-ups are fucking destroying me. And then, you know, then by the end, later on, as you go later on into the class, as we're, you know, hopping in lines and throwing jabs down the line, or we're what was the word I said earlier when we were shrimping?
Oh yeah,
you know, just doing all these different moves that are like necessary moves within MMA for training, like. Bro, it's fucking destroying me. And I know that, like, guys like them, they're probably like, these motherfuckers can't even do the work. Because they'll say it. Justin James, yep, everyone's like, it's just a warm-up, folks. It's just a warm-up. And I'm, like, dying over there. Dude, they're great. Him and Juan are really, really good. Like, they're the ones that are doing the bulk. Even though, you know, Ryan is, like, the third half of it. I think Ryan's more of just, hey, I'll fill in when these guys can't do it or whatever. Yeah. So, like, it's mainly Juan and Justin. So, they're very happy today. So, today we actually got to do a little bit of grappling and started doing some stuff. But, man, boy, I am every bit – I felt my age and, like, out of shape. You know, there's probably, like, 20-something of us in there. I'm probably easily the most out of shape motherfucker in the class. But it's good, man. You know, they're pushing. Everybody, for the most part, has been very supportive. You know, it's kind of cool because a lot of people are all there for different reasons. But everybody's been supportive, you know, at the end. You know, everybody's good job to everybody and kind of pushing. So I think that's the you know, it hasn't got to the that's point cool. where some of them later on are going to be maybe okay. fighting
well,
each other.
Well, that's what I was asking. That's why I want to know.
Right now it's all still touchy, happy, feely.
Is anybody, you know? Like, eyeing each other up a little bit?
I'm sure I'm the fucking target they all want to fight. They're like, this motherfucker gets tired after the warm-up laps. They're like, I'll go up and fight him in whatever weight is it. Whatever yeah. weight he
like
is.
Like, you guys aren't the same size. That's okay.
That's okay. They're like, you're giving up 150 pounds. Okay, cool. I'll tie one of my arms behind my back, too. Today I was rolling, I wouldn't say we were rolling. We were doing some of the grappling and ground skills. God, what the fuck is his name? I'm so bad on names because I want to say his name was Bo or B, but I was like, no, that's another dude. But the dude's, he's probably about 6'3". Maybe 6'3", 6'4", 360 pounds, used to play
big
football.
Boy. Big boy.
Yeah, and, like, trying to, like, you know, break his guard and, like, hop over and get into side control and start working, like, you know, an Americana on his arm. Like, he's a big boy. And then, like, moving my weight around as well, it's just like, holy cow. I feel every bit the... Hey, you sat on your ass for the last 20 years of your life, and now you're trying
now
to
you're
do
paying
something?
The price for it.
Now you're doing something. But yeah, man, it's good, man. I was telling you, like, this morning I was looking in the mirror and I was just like, do we got to do this again? Is the week over? And I was like, bro, you cannot be like this already. Like, be grateful. You have an opportunity. You're alive to try to do this shit. You have an opportunity to push yourself. And my mantra that I've been carrying through this thing so far, I tell myself when I wake up, when I'm sitting in the bed, before I even stand up, and before I leave the house, and before I walk in the gym, I say, it's going to be tough. It's going to be rough. But you're going to do fucking great. And
I love
just say it over and over. That's
little affirmation.
That's my Rose Namajunas affirmation before I go into the ring. Yeah, man. But it's been great, man. So hopefully I'll share some numbers and good things. I introduced back in intermittent fasting. So I stop eating, and then in the morning when I'm going into the class, I'm like really, really peak in like the fasting window when you're in the ketosis state, and then hopefully trying to burn stuff. And it's so far I haven't felt really, really bad because it's not like lifting heavy weights. Besides my big ass fucking belly, and it's been really, really, it's been good so far. I haven't regretted that. So I'm down. I think I'm down. I was down 5 pounds today. So that's a day three. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
so hopefully it just keeps going or whatever. So I mean, but that's the thing. Like even just intermittent fasting, you'll start dropping some shit. So what I want to start seeing is a bigger sort of rate, but I know. I think some of the soreness and shit that's happening, hopefully I'll gain some muscle mass back, and that's what I want as well. It's crazy. I mean, yeah, it's my body's went the long way in the wrong direction over the years.
It's
getting
jarred
so, you
back in the
know,
right one.
It's just trying to get
no easing
back
in
back.
In an MMA That's training it. Camp, right? That's good, man. No, listen, like I said, I promise to our listeners we won't be doing the weekly update or whatever. But
nah.
Hey, listen, I have a lot of respect for you for doing it, and a lot of respect for really everybody in there, man. Because I know not an easy program, man, and doing it every day for 12 weeks. I mean,
yeah, good, Juan, 20 weeks.
20 weeks. That's right. 20 weeks. I keep thinking 12.
Well, it's funny because Juan said something the other day. One of the coaches, he's like, guys, I didn't take my first amateur fight till like after I'd been doing this for like 10 years. He's like, y'all trying to do it after 20 weeks. He's like, it's a little crazy, and he's like, and it's a little wild. He's like, but that's why you have to go at the pace is going to be much quicker. A lot of these people don't have that time.
Right.
And I say that a lot of these people because I have no intention right now of taking my fight – you know, or fighting at the very end of this. You know, I mean, I fight in the streets, not in the cage, dog.
It just wouldn't be fair.
It just wouldn't
man,
be
if
fair.
Man, if you're experienced in combat sports, you know what I mean?
I mean, if there's been anything that it showed me, like, is the respect for what we've said this time and time again, the discipline and the effort that these athletes have done to get their bodies to, like, this for them to be able to do the shit that they do is just absolutely incredible. And one of the things I've realized is I have zero cardio. Like, when you can't hit a bag and you have to slow down and stop, and say it's a 3-minute round on the bag or 2-minute round on the bag, and you're burning out, imagine an amateur fight is 3 2-minute
rounds. Yep.
So if you can't go 100% with somebody coming at you for those 2 minutes and you're dying, it's only going to be exponentially worse if you have somebody coming at you, and
the
then your
dump
adrenaline.
That you have.
I'm just like, I would have to see amazing like differences, and that's why I think I've seen some people say like, oh, well, you know, they do it again, and then they see where they go or whatever. Not that I would try to do it again, but what I'm hoping is that this does kickstart back in the idea that fitness needs to be part of our lives. You know, we've been saying this for years, and everybody listening to this podcast has been hearing us say this for years. You know, it's like, you know, we got to do something. We're only getting older. You know, we just got to do something. So, but yeah, I mean, no, we won't bore him with whatever. I mean, I will put some more of that shit on Patreon. I'll bore those folks. as well, but no, it's good. It's interesting. It really, really is. You know, it's you know, seeing those moves and actually trying to put it. Like I've said in my mind a ton of times when I've watched like these moves. Like you're like, oh, okay, I know how to do an Americana. And then when you're like, okay, well, show me. You're like, oh,
yeah, exactly.
You know, because there were points where I was like, why am I pulling in? And I'm like, why am I not getting to that point yet? It's all the difference of my position of where my chest and my head over top of their body,
right,
having enough leverage to be able to pull it in. When you're further back and say your head and your chest is maybe only halfway along over their chest, or even closer to where you're barely going across and then you're just reaching upon it, or reaching across, you're not getting enough torque. That's that slight little difference.
It's those little details, little
details. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I was like, what is going on? Why is this not? And Juan came and kind of broke it down. And then the guy I was working with, and I was like, oh, my gosh, it's just that simple thing. But you don't really think about it, especially when you're tired. You're just like, ugh, I just got out of this guard. Now I'm getting in the side guard, you know, in the side control, and then I'm trying to go. And I'm like, why? Hey, I've seen this on TV. Why isn't it doing it, you know? And then
he's
just a little did.
Yeah. He's just really flexible, coach. I don't know. He's just really flexible.
He's like rubber. He just didn't break. It's definitely anything else. It's given me a much bigger respect for the technique and the effort that goes behind what these men and women do every day that we're, you know, lucky enough to cover, you know. So, yeah.
Day three.
Day three
of 20 weeks, man. I love it. Well, props to you for doing it, man, and props to everybody that's doing out there. So I had to get the update because I'm seeing this. He's a broken man already, folks. He's a broken man. Hopefully they'll continue to build him up, man.
Build it up. They got to break you down to build you up, right?
He's like, bro, what time can you get over to my house to get this podcast done? Because I'm about to fall asleep, bro.
If I didn't go watch a movie earlier, I was going to be napping on the couch because I was just like, I was just done. I was like, but then I'm starting to think like, well, if I nap now, will I be able to go to bed early? I'm putting myself to bed at like 10 o'clock at night. Live in Las Vegas. I'm like, it's time to go to bed. It's 10 o'clock, folks.
Oh,
you know,
man.
Like, literally like I'm 70 years old, but you got to do it. Whatever.
Well, listen, not a busy weekend on the MMA schedule. Memorial Day weekend yes. coming up, which I know everybody's kind of excited about. I'm still doing putting in some work. I'm going to head out.
I'm on staycation right now. Did I tell you that?
No, really?
Yeah, so since it's not a UFC, I was like, since we're doing that whole managed time off, yeah. you know, I just assume every week of my life is going to be a UFC fight.
Right.
So last week, I was like, oh, man, who's it next week? They're like, no, we don't have a UFC. I was like, we don't have a UFC? So I immediately hit up management and was like, yo, there's no thing. I was like, can I take like Friday and Saturday? And they're like, I bet we can extend it to Thursday too.
Nice.
Normally I have Tuesdays off.
Yep.
So they made me work Tuesday and then gave me today off. And then I have the rest of the – I'm off till like Monday.
Good for you.
Dude.
Well, at least for, you know, for your first week of training camp, you don't have to balance work as well.
I know.
Man.
I was like, yeah, you still got to get up in the morning and go to the gym.
Oh, it's so true, right?
I know, but I can't bitch about it. That's it. I can't bitch. You know, I'm alive to do it, and fuck it. It's going to get better.
It'll get better.
It'll get
better. I've still got some. We'll talk about CFSC and Fury Grappling as well, but I did want to ask you about the continued fallout from UFC Fight Night 206. Vieira picking up the decision win over Holm, and a lot of people unhappy about it at the time. And
yeah.
It's been interesting to see the fallout, right? Because
people have been flip-flopping, though.
Well, here,
a lot of flippity-flop.
A lot of people are coming back, like, you know, I watched it again, and I can totally
yeah.
see how it went for Kelly
yeah.
Vieira. And but here's what I'm – okay, first things first. I wonder – it seems to me this is the weirdest fight to get up in arms about. Like, this is the fight that we're going to be like, dude, you got to blow the system up and start it over. Like, this
right.
was like a razor-thin
yeah.
fight, like, no matter how you break down. The judges' scorecards, as we've talked about at length, is it all but one score, you know.
Yeah.
Was I mean, so it just seems weird to me that this is the fight that finally everybody's like, I've had enough of all of this. You know, we got to do something about it. And I just wonder if that's simply because of where it fell on the schedule and that there is nothing this week. Like, if we did have another UFC event to go to or a pay-per-view to
erase the memory.
Yeah, that people would just be like, all right, let's move on. Because I feel like there's being so much time tonight, and I wonder if that's just it.
A lot of debate on Twitter. Like, you're right. Like, even still, like, I think yesterday or maybe it was today where I saw people talking about it. You're right. And I was just like, that's weird. They're still kind of going over it. You know, it's, you know, while you're watching it, you know, and it's bringing back all the debates of open scoring, whether you need to, you know, people want to see where the rat is, the fights are going on. We know that none of the judges sitting around are seeing those stat counts after every round. They just take it in and what they're looking at their head, you know, what they can remember. I know I personally started judging myself to what I saw, you know, when I saw the so much control over and over and over, I was just like, ah, Holly definitely won it. But then, you know, as you start thinking about damage and what else she was doing, and even that night when Ketlin was talking about, you know, she was kind of, it was almost like she was stalling, because when she had me, she wasn't really doing anything. She was just controlling me up against the cage. That being said, I mean, so many people have, and then I started noticing, I almost felt like I was flippity-flopping, and then I saw mm-hmm. other people that were like, you know, I know that night I was like, you know, Holly definitely this, you know, but after the fact, when I looked at it, you know, yeah, damage, you know, Ketlin didn't even look like she was in a fight. Holly didn't, you know, Holly was wearing all the damage. Judges don't get to see the scorecard, like the stats of how many strikes.
Right.
When I saw that night, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't remember Holly doing that much,
right?
Like that many strikes.
Right.
Like, I was surprised, because listen, you know, sometimes the commentary can sort of set a mood in your head as well.
100%.
Commentary was reaffirming when I was watching. I saw Holly was able to throw side kicks. She threw some other kicks, but every time she tried to go and throw a strike, she was getting better counter-striked by Ketlin.
Right.
And at some point, it just felt like I stopped seeing Holly throwing strikes. I was seeing every once in a while she would do the side kick, she would throw some other kicks. So when I saw the stat numbers at the end where clearly Holly had so many more punches, I was like, did those all happen in those clinches or something? Or, you know, I know Ketlin's like, oh, you know, they were just little pity pats, you know, which made me think about when the women's fight got stopped with Velasquez and Carmouche.
Right, over in
where Bellator. It was like, those elbows, are they really doing anything?
Right.
And then they stopped that one right there, you know. So, you know, when I saw how many punches were attributed to Holly. I was like, man, how did I miss all that? I was like, but if I saw those, I would immediately be like, yes, Holly, for sure. Your first thought of thinking that she won because of all this control was validated, but I don't remember that when I watched it. You know, maybe if I go back and watch it again, then I would maybe feel bigger the one way or another. But I do that night remember thinking that how much she was controlling up against the cage, that I was like, man, Ketlin can't do anything. You know, like, they're not going to pull her out. She has to do something about it. So I was like, oh, clearly Holly did more. She was pushing the pace, you know. And then I guess that's when everybody's like, well, what actually counts to the scoring?
Well, I think that's the good thing that's happening, right? Is at least people are having these discussions about reading the criteria and understanding the criteria and really getting it. But it is funny because, like, as you said, you know, the damage and the more immediately impactful blows, as it's labeled, that's what's most, you know, that's what's most meaningful. And the control time is really considered more of a neutral position. But it's not a neutral position. You know what I mean? It just makes me wonder if the criteria is worded exactly right. Or, you know, even when you've got, like, you know, I think back to Rose Namajunas saying, what, I don't get rewarded for my defense? And everybody was like, well, no, you don't. But it makes you wonder, like, if here's a UFC champion athlete that thinks they should be rewarded for their defense, maybe there's something to discuss there, you know?
Yeah.
And I do agree that damage and the more immediate impactful blows, like, I agree, that's what it should be. I think that's encouraging a fight versus encouraging a stall, grapple, clinch fest, right? But, you know, when you look at those shots, I would agree with you that I thought, you know, Ketlin was getting the better shots in countering, but I don't think she was, like, destroying anything. You know what
no,
I mean? So that's what trips me out.
Right.
That's what trips
Not
me out
about
it. Because I think this is a really good fight to debate, like, what matters and how to score and that sort of thing, because it was so close and it was two different kinds of styles. And as I said on the NFF episode this past week, Holly Holm's style is just tough because it's to be rewarded by the judges, because if she gets caught by a counter, it's almost always, I think, it seems like going to be more powerful because she's coming with the volume.
She never
stops
moving.
She
ran out to the cage. She doesn't even stand during her intros.
Paces back and forth. It's crazy, man. It's nonstop movement. So I don't know. It just seems weird to me that this is the time that we're talking about. And I want to say this too. This open scoring debate, to me, these are different discussions. If open scoring has nothing to do with making sure the right person is winning. You know what I mean? Like, it has nothing to do with making sure the scoring is being done properly. And I don't understand why people debate those at the same time.
Have they ever assigned, like, a not a point value, but has the commission ever said clearly, this is what we, when we go to scoring on a round, this is the basis that we go from, and everything falls back from that point? Have they ever said, you know, clearly, you know, if you're doing strikes with damage to the head or to the body, where we see, like, this, I'm going to look at this and score this, in my mind, as one way. Whereas, if, you know, yeah, if somebody's ground, control time, you know, we're going to give them something for it, but really, I want to see this. I just don't know if I've ever seen it laid out where it's clearly shown instead of where it's a gut feeling. And I think that's what people, when they start trying to say, this open scoring, is that they want to see what that judge thought at that time so they kind of know where it's at. But I've just never heard a commission sort of say, this is what our judges are. This is our first look is here. Our second look is here. Our third look is here.
It's interesting.
Thing.
I do. And see, that's one thing that I've been kind of critical of with the criteria is I don't love the wording of it. Like, I love the idea of it. Like, I do like the idea that, like, look, what we're trying to do is encourage action and encourage impact. You know what I mean? Not, hey, they took me down and held me, so therefore they won. Like, that's not a great fight. That's not what we want to see. But you're right. I mean, so when you look at the round scoring, for instance, if you ever want to see this, guys, it's at abcboxing.com, the Association of Boxing Commissions. A 10-10 round in MMA is both fighters have competed for whatever duration of time in the round, and there is no difference or advantage between either fighter, which we know is pretty much impossible according to the way the judges implement it.
Right.
It should be extremely rare, and it's not a score to be used as an excuse by a judge that cannot assess the differences in the round. And then when you go to 10-9, a 10-9 round is in MMA is where one combatant wins the round by a close margin. A 10-8 round in MMA is where one fighter wins the round by a large margin. So, you know,
so just giving margin, but it's like, but what is this scoring on?
Yeah, and I don't want to bore anybody by reading because you can see it directly. But I do encourage everybody to read it because I do think I think the benefit of it is more and more people are actually going to this criteria and reading it. But a 10-9 round in MMA is the most common score a judge assesses during the night. If during the round the judge sees a fighter land the better strikes or utilizes effective grappling during the competition, even by just one technique over their opponent, the judge shall give the winning fighter a score of 10, while assessing the losing fighter score of 9 or less. It is imperative that judges understand that a score of 9 is not an automatic numerical score given to the losing fighter of the round. The judge must consider, was the fighter engaged in offensive actions during the round? Did the losing fighter compete with an attitude of attempting to win the fight or just to survive the offensive actions of their opponent? A score of 10-9 can reflect an extremely close round or a round of marginal domination and or impact. So it's like, it just seems so subjective to me.
It really, really is. You know what I mean? But you definitely get the feeling where it's like, was one trying and one not? Like, right. I like the one that was like, was he losing or did they look like they wanted to die and they were so embarrassed?
Sorry, I cannot.
It's like they were like,
points.
They're like, can you cross that part? Let's not say embarrassed and they want to die. Let's just say it doesn't look like they're trying.
So true.
But yeah, I mean, wow, it's so subjective. But you're right. I mean, at least they start to lay it out. But it you know, when they say, you know, when somebody's, you know, controlling or like a submission, I mean, I can see where somebody's like, if I have them in a position up against the cage and I'm in the underhooks, you know, and I'm close to where I might throw, I'm engaged almost in a technique, you have to score that as I'm in a technique doing something, you know, even though when you look at it, you might be like,
that was just a transitional move.
Yeah, you're just kind of not doing anything, you know. But
So the definition, legal blow, this is effective striking, by the way. Legal blows that have immediate or cumulative impact with the potential to contribute towards the end of the match, with the immediate weighing more heavily than the cumulative impact, which essentially at that point is stating that volume versus power, you're going to reward the power. But how much volume versus you know what I mean? Like,
if
you're
Holly
Holm,
yeah.
And I'm pa 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 pa, and I move pa 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 pa, and you hit me with one, does my 10 not matter? Like, just that's the part that I think is still, and that's the part to me that I honestly think the judges are better than people want to give them credit for. They are way more knowledgeable in martial arts than people want to give them credit to. They aren't, you know, the quote unquote boxing judges. Now, don't get me wrong, and some of the local commissions. You know, some of the local commissions that don't do a lot of fights, yes, you have some subpar judges. But in Nevada, where these guys are working every damn week, think about how much practice these guys and girls have gotten during the pandemic period when every event was at the apex. I mean, these dudes have done ton of rounds. And they talk about it. They discuss it. Man, you see them get together afterwards. You know, they do these training sessions. The judges are better than...
I thought that's when they give them money. I thought that's when they trade the money for the bets.
Well done, sir.
They're like,
well
bro,
done.
good job. You won me $1,000.
You're terrible.
Here's
you shouldn't even
cut.
Say that.
Here's
like, cut. I knew something like that was going on.
Here's your cut.
But I think they're better than people want to give it credit for. I just think that I do, and I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to say the criteria isn't good. I've always felt since these were first implemented, I feel like they could be defined a little bit more. And I think that's what we need to worry. This whole let's add five judges... This is the thing. So people always say, oh, we have terrible judges, so let's get five of them. You just said we can't get three.
Yeah.
If we can't get three to call it right, why are we going to get five? Why don't we get seven? Why don't we get 100? Like, I don't think that's the issue. I don't think you need more judges. I know there's people that say, oh, the 10-9 system, it's made for boxing. It doesn't work. I'm going to be honest with you. The 10-9 system may not be perfect, but I haven't seen something that works better. You know, this whole, you know, and I know that some organizations, including, you know, Pride in the past, you would judge as a whole. To be honest, I think that's incredibly difficult, man. It's incredibly difficult to remember what happened over the course of 5 minutes. Now you're asking me to judge entirely without any recency bias on what happened towards the end
that
of the fight.
Yep.
15 minutes or 25 minutes. I mean, try to remember every technique that happened in a 25-minute fight and where it stands. Like, so judging as a whole on the entirety, I think, is difficult. And I just – the open scoring debate, I don't like open scoring for a number of reasons, not the least of which is just the way it could have an immediate impact on the way the fight plays out. I mean, you see how guys – think about how fighters get distracted sometimes with fouls that are called or not called or whatever, and you can see their concentration breaking and you can see their reaction to it. I can see that feeding in too. You're trying to keep your fighter zoned in on the moment. I don't think open scoring helps with that. And – I will say this. I know I hear some people saying this is a silly reason, but I do think it is. That drama of the scores being read out, that is an inherent moment of the sport. You know what I mean? The and still,
especially because they always like if it's like a split, they're like, I'm gonna give you one,
and
then I'm gonna give you one.
Yep.
Now let's wait for it where they can easily just be like. And the winner is, you know, and just cut to the chase.
That's a dramatic moment of the sport.
That's entertainment.
That may sound silly, and I hear the audience, oh, what other sport do people not know the score? If you didn't know the score of the basketball game until the third quarter. Well, if the point of the basketball game was to knock out your opponent or submit your opponent, the point of MMA is not to score points.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, if how can you be a fan of, like, oh, I like open scoring, but you know Pride, where they used to judge fights as a whole, that's a good thing too. Well, then there's no, just the arguments. I think the criteria can be dialed in a little bit more. I think they need to continually be refined, and we make sure that the system is clearly defined, so that there is less, because that's the part about it, is at the end of the day, you still hear people saying, well, it depends if the judge saw this or the judge favored this, and that's not good. And the other thing I will say too, and I know the Nevada State Athletic Commission is trying to reach out to the UFC and work with them, and I hope that this happens, but they're trying to do seminars for all these broadcasters to really educate them on everything, and I think that is huge, because I will say, if you're giving as a broadcaster, and I'm not trying to, I mean, look, these broadcasters, they do a phenomenal job, but if you are giving bad information, like the whole thing when they're like, I don't even know what these judges are looking for.
Yep.
I do. It's right here. This is what they're looking for. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you should be able to quote, this is what. Now, could you say granted, that they might be, you might say that they're doing it wrong, but if you can at least say to the, if you can at least say to the audience, this is what the officials should be looking for. The officials should be measuring and looking for the most effective striking, you know, favoring the immediate blows over, you know, you should be able to say that. And again, I'm not trying to insult anybody, but they know the sport very well. But I think, you know, especially those fighters and those, you know, those analysts that are coming from the fighting world, look, we know the fighters don't know this criteria, which is not good. It's not a good thing, but we know they don't know it.
Right.
They need to know this stuff. And fighters, active fighters need to know it. But I think when the broadcasters can give that accurate information, that helps the audience a whole lot. And I think it doesn't create so much distrust in the system, and it doesn't create as much frustration.
Yeah.
You know, at least, and I think it's important. I hope that that works. I know the Nevada Commission is trying to work with them. I think the California Commission is working well to try to educate the broadcasters, which I think is great, because it's a weird thing, right? Because the commissions are supposed to be regulating the promotion, and so they're supposed to have kind of a healthy difference between church and state, you know, not necessarily work together because we're overriding or whatever. It's like, you know, we were kind of, you know, like the Charles Oliveira situation in Arizona, right? Like, what would have happened if Mark Ratner would have walked up? And because a lot of people think the guy on the scale didn't necessarily do it right. But what if Mark Ratner walks up and goes, nah, bro, look, you got to do this and you got to do that. You think anybody watching is going to be like, oh, that's totally on the up and up. You know what I mean? Like, no, of course. They're going to be like, bro, of course Mark Ratner just came in and messed with the scale so that Charles Oliveira could make weight so their title fight would be on. So there does have to be some kind of healthy separation over who's regulating who and who's doing what. But I don't think that that means – I think, to be honest, if the commission and the promotion can agree to let their broadcasters be educated – That just does everybody good. It helps make sure that people know what they're watching and that they're not creating distrust where it shouldn't exist. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, it certainly would help. But, I mean, it still doesn't fix some of the outline, because you still see judges that just do completely weird things. Because if every judge followed it to a T, you think we'd always have unanimous decisions. We would never have a split decision, especially when you have two judges go one way and then you have a 30-27 the opposite way, and you're like,
dude, when you see 30-27, 27-30, that's the worst. Yeah, so you're just like,
you're like, what's going on? So there's probably something. So you're right. I think education would probably just help, just to show that they're at least trying to keep everybody up. But I think there's still probably we'll still see varying levels when it comes to the different judges. But I think you're right. I think if there is something going off to the cage and somebody's being just really just held up against the cage and they're taking a whole ton of control time, somebody could clearly say, guys, while this looks like somebody is doing a lot of control time, they're not doing a lot of damage. And by the rules that say this, 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 so this could still really go the other way.
I think that's so much better than, well, you know, when it's that, again, you hear it so much. It's well, what are the judges? Look, we don't know what the judges are valuing. You know, what are they seeing here? Well, and look, they may be seeing something different.
Yeah.
But usually, I think instead of saying, wow, we don't know what the judges are looking at here. No, we do. Or we know what they're supposed to be looking at.
Don't turn the audience against them immediately. Like, by setting them up. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. That's a good point. That's a good point. And we probably all do that, because maybe it's been like that for so long that it's hard for them to switch it, because we always immediately want to blame. You could set him on the ground.
Oh,
he loves to hop on the
table. Cat just
jumped
up here on the table. And
he had missed the frosty beverages.
It only startled me because there was an open frosty beverage right here. And I was like, oh, please don't knock that over. But the professional broadcaster I am, I kept it in silence. But, you know, on the road show, man, we just address what's happening here.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, he probably didn't see you, and he probably didn't hear your loud voice. He thought it was just me and him. He just hopped up on the table.
He's like,
oh, dad's at the table. Let me hop up.
Like a mouse over here, you know what I mean?
Like a little whisper over there. Just like I turned the fan on in the corner. Just a little soft hum.
Oh,
yeah, no, he's a... Maybe he just likes you. Maybe he wants to sip on the beer.
I was just super afraid he was about to knock the frosty beverage over.
I know he did come pretty close because you've had bad history with liquids in your laptops.
Had a couple computers ruined.
There was one day one of the media outlet I won't say but was sitting beside me, knocked a drink over. And we were in such close quarters that nobody could kind of get up and get out. Like, but I luckily, me being a fat ass, I have like my sweat rag. So I had a towel that was sitting on my tripod that I hadn't used, but that was just sitting there that I was going to use if I got hot and sweaty because we were all stuck in there. And I was luckily grabbed it and was able to throw it over to them, and they were able to pad it out. But the whole time I'm thinking, like, waiting for the laptop to just go and then just cut out. But it literally brought back memories of every person's laptop I've seen get fluids. Jose Young's we've seen drop coffee, or maybe it was Casey that dropped on. I've seen it happen to you.
I've had it happen to me.
I think it came close to me before or something. But, yeah, I mean, we've seen lots of technology get wasted by liquids.
Diego Hibas from AG Fights spilled a coffee into my laptop one time. And then, you know, but the funny thing was, like, back then, we weren't working together as often. We weren't seeing each other, like, every week. You know? So, I mean, I was kind of pissed off, but I also, like, I understood it was an accident. Like, it didn't do it on purpose. And in my mind, I'm like, it's my fault because I walked away from my computer and I left a cup of coffee sitting there. Like, that's my fault. I shouldn't have done that. So, while I was frustrated, I wasn't pissed at him. Like, it's not like he did it on purpose. But it's funny because then, like, I don't really know, like, I don't know if he spoke less English back then or he was just more shy back then, so we didn't really talk that much, so we just never really interacted that much. Yeah. And, like, I find out, like, years later, he thought I hated his guts, you know, and I was like, nah, dog, like, he was like, I thought you hated me for years because of that, but, I did have to buy another computer. But
yeah, that's crazy that he carried that around years.
He's like, Morgan just hates my guts because I ruined his computer. I'm like, nah, dude, you were the quiet dude that doesn't speak much English over there, so I didn't talk to you much, like, sorry,
that's
bro.
Awesome.
But now he ends up sitting next to me a lot, so we end up chatting a lot and talking and stuff. And he's a Dallas Mavericks fan now. He got to go to an NBA basketball game in Dallas. He was in town covering the PFL the same week I was. And the Mavericks were playing there, and so he got to go see the Mavericks, and that was a series against Utah. So he got to go see an NBA playoff game at American Airlines.
I'm going to show my ignorance of being in the bubble.
Yes.
Are they still in it, or did they lose? They were down 4-3-0, weren't they? Is it game four?
I think they're about to get eliminated. I'll be honest with you. Even I don't know.
I think
know.
They were down like 3-0, I thought like the next right game. Now. So it's got to be soon, right?
Maybe probably tonight.
Probably tonight or something like that. So. Yeah. I want to watch them while they're still in there.
Like I said, I feel like we're on borrowed time anyway. Like, we weren't supposed to beat Phoenix, and they did. And
yeah, you're right. I think even the coach was like, this is a great experience for a young team. Yeah. I was like, you're already sounding like you lost.
Well, and look, born and raised in Dallas, I'll always be a Dallas sports fan. I grew up watching this. My dad was, for a couple years, a Dallas Mavericks season ticket holder.
Nice.
So I got to see my fair share of games back in the day, back at Reunion Arena years and years ago. So I'm always going to be a Dallas fan. But at the same time, I'm not one of those guys that'll just like – because I haven't watched a Mavericks basketball game all year. So, like, now that they're in the playoffs, I'm just going to jump in and be like, yeah, baby, Mavs fan for life, baby.
Bro, where'd you get that Mavs hat, Morgan? I know I never see you wear hats, but I must have just been sitting at home waiting.
Yeah. Plus, man, I'm actually – I don't really get to watch the most basketball because I'm too busy doing promotional items for the Las Vegas Lights. You know,
I know. Look at you. I saw that. I was like, what?
That was pretty cool, man. For anybody that doesn't know, the Las Vegas Lights is a local soccer team. And my wife and kid and I go whenever we can, to be honest with you. They play a lot of games on Saturdays, so we don't get to go a ton. We'll probably go to 6 or 8 games a year. But
when we go,
they got this awesome thing, man, where you can buy a pitch side kiddie pool. Or like, not buy it, but you rent the area. So they have like 8 of them set up, and it's literally 2 yards from the side of the field. I mean, you're on the pitch. Like, I sit there and like heckle the linesmen and the referees and stuff when they miss calls. I'm like, yeah, you know, mess with them. And you get, I think it's like $50 or something, and you get 4 seats. And it's just the 3 of us. It's me, my wife, and my kid. But we'll go, and I'll grab a few frosty beverages, kick off the shoes, put the feet in the kiddie pool. You know what I mean? Sit there, and hang out. And anyway, this Saturday, I guess, is their first one of the season that has a kiddie pool because now it's warm again. And it's super hot right now.
So only 8, huh?
I think there's only 8 of them per game.
Wow. That's the elite. That's like 1%er club right there.
Hey, I'm 1%, dude.
1%.
Like, that's, you know, it's funny because
that's how the other half lives.
I'm a big soccer fan. Like,
Mr. Morgan, your pool is waiting
right
for you,
here, sir. I am a big soccer fan, and so I'm excited because they keep talking about an MLS team coming here, right?
Yeah,
like an expansion team, which I'd be totally down for.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming if we had MLS, like the lights would probably go away, and those games are so much cheaper. And like, is the MLS team going to have
pitch-side
pools?
Hockey, right?
That's true. They do have like the minor league hockey. They have the Golden Knights and the Silver Knights.
But you're right. It's tough to maintain to think that you're going to get – I mean, I don't see – I don't go to any of the minor league hockey, so I'm not sure what the attendance. But everybody's been was so gaga over the Knights that I know that some people probably heard Ioli was going there.
Yeah.
Ioli's like, yeah, I haven't missed one yet. You know, and I'm just like,
I mean, Ioli's everywhere, though. You know
loves
what I'm saying? Ioli's everywhere.
That he is. So maybe, I mean, maybe it could. I mean, I know that when we have the crew back in Columbus and the town embrace it, if there was probably, some sort of like a lesser minor, like I bet people would be into it as long as they knew that it was sort of associated with that,
you
know,
right. Maybe you can see the players like, up or whatever,
you know, cause what's weird sometimes is when you have like a minor league team, like you'll see in our baseball team here, I think
they've changed. In the time that we've lived
so
here,
many times.
They were associated with the Toronto Blue Jays for a while.
I think maybe the Expos at one point.
They were the Mets. I know that.
Yeah.
I don't even know who they are. I think they're the A's now. I think they're associated
it's
with the
so
A's.
So crazy.
Now.
So, I mean, it's tough when that sort of happens. Then you're just like, do I really care about this team?
Right.
That's why I liked it back home because, like, our Columbus Clippers, the AAA team, got hooked up with the Cleveland Indians, which made so much sense because they're just up north. Because
they were the Yankees for a long time.
They were Yankees for a long, long, long time. For a short time after the Yankees, I think they became like maybe this Washington, what were they, not Senators, but something. But for the most part, it was like just little stop gaps until I think they were waiting for the Indians because they knew the Indians was coming. And then after that, when you get that association,
sir,
it makes
you mean
sense.
The Guardians.
I know the Guardians now. I saw one day, like, and
that isn't really like the worst possible name,
it
right?
It sucks. It's so bad. Like, I was looking around, I was like, yeah, where's the Indians schedule? Because I didn't realize that they had finally changed the name. And then when I saw it was Cleveland Guardians, I was like, what the fuck?
Like, I respect this PC world, and so the idea of changing the name from the Indians, I still feel like you could be the Indians and not have, like, the mascot that looks kind of disrespectful, you know what I mean? Like, I think the mascot was the thing that was a little too much, where it's like, this is a little cartoonish depiction of a human being here.
Yeah.
So, but I get it, so they wanted to change it, you know, like the Redskins thing, I get that. But Guardians, man, Guardians.
They're like,
Guardians.
What name cannot be offensive, and that is just plain boring.
Yeah.
And like, how about this Guardians? No one's ever going to say it. I saw this great movie called Guardians of the Galaxy. I think it was really, really cool. Let's be the Guardians.
Terrible name.
I know.
So anyway, back to soccer and back to MMA. yeah, we're just done with that. This is what happens on a Memorial Day weekend with not a lot of MMA. But yeah, the Las Vegas Lights, they featured a picture of my family in their social media.
I don't remember you ever telling me that. Did they take pictures with everybody?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, all of them.
Or did they just like they just saw you guys and they're like, oh, hey, you know? Because I didn't see them tag you, but I didn't know if they were like –
They did tag me. Yeah, yeah. They did tag me. Yeah, they were like, be cool like John Morgan MMA and come hang out at our pool or whatever. So,
oh, shit.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. It's kind of cool. I thought it was cool. Maybe it's a little too extra for you, but I felt respected. I have fun when I go out there. I like to go out. So that's my favorite part to go. They do have a place. So this is cool. So if you ever want to come to a Lights game, so the pitch side pools are awesome. But they have another area that I think anybody – in fact, I'm sure. I think you can get a general admission ticket for like $10. And they have a bar that's behind one of the goals. And it's literally like, again, like 2 yards from the goal line or whatever. So you can go there and you can just – grab a beer, and when I say bar, it's literally just like an outdoor, like, but you can grab a beer and just stand like right there, like 2 feet from the sidelines or from the end.
So if you didn't have the wife and the kitty, that would be where you would.
Totally.
Because that would be weird if you were just at the pool by yourself.
And then, yeah, being at the pool by yourself would be weird. And then they have another section that's up because it's an old baseball field that's up in the press box.
Yeah.
So it's nice and air conditioned and all that. But that one is $50 and it's all you can drink.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I can put in work on that.
Yeah. I remember during the baseball games, they used to have some, it was like the lounge or the clubhouse or whatever it was. But, oh, that's awesome, man.
Shout out. Las Vegas Lights, free commercial. They didn't even pay me for that. I just have fun with it. And they use me on social media. So, all right, listen, not a lot of money.
Sure, your pool is waiting for free this time.
I know, that'd be nice, but no. I'll happily pay. I have a good time out there. All right, so listen, not a ton of MMA this weekend, but I will say, remind you, UFC Fight Pass, both Friday and Saturday. I'm flying out to Philadelphia tomorrow for some action at 2300 Arena. My man CM Punk will not be with me because he's actually here in Las Vegas right now.
Yes!
He's actually wrestling this Sunday. I don't know if he wrestles tonight or not. I know they do like a Wednesday event. I guess he probably wouldn't wrestle tonight, right? Knowing that he's got a title fight on Sunday. Unless there was...
No, they might do like one of those weird like just cut-ins where he's in the arena, and they might do like a scene where he's talking
or something. Yeah, I couldn't imagine. So he's in town for that. So Dean Thomas will actually be joining me, which I'm looking forward to that. We had a production call the other day, so that should be a good time. But CFFC 109 on Friday night, we did lose. We were supposed to have the return of Santo Curatolo in an interim flyweight title bout. Of course, we saw Santo on Dana White's Contender Series. He lost to Clayton Rodriguez, who looks like a really, really talented flyweight. He was kind of ready to start building again. But unfortunately, his opponent had some issues in route. I don't know if it was some visa issues or some travel delays. I'm not sure what it was, but basically removed on fight week, which sucks. So we lost that. But the kid that's in our main event, Manuel Sosa, 8-0, looks like an absolute terror. Also hailing from Brazil, and he's facing Mauro Chalet, who's from Brazil as well. So we've got an all Brazilian main event in the lightweight division with and including an undefeated Manuel Sosa, who looks like an absolute terror. But as excited I am about that, because I love MMA and I love doing CFFC, I'm even more excited about the next night, because Saturday night's when we do Fury Professional Grappling 4. It's still only our fourth grappling event.
Yeah.
And they're just so much fun, man. Sean Brady versus Ben Saunders in the main event. Clay Guida versus Alex Caceres in the co-main. A bunch of other notables on the Jason Guida's on the card as well. J's on there. Yeah. I'm wondering if Clay is going to slap Jason. You know what I mean? I want to see how that plays out. So, Bruce Leroy, Clay Guida, two fan favorites, two all-action guys in the
awesome
co-main event. I love that one. And then the main event, Sean Brady, former CFFC champ, obviously a Philly guy, man. That's his town. It's his backyard. He's going to pack the house against Ben Saunders, who I spoke to Ben Saunders earlier this week, and he's excited. He's like, man, I love it. He's like, look, I still got a little bit of MMA left me. So Ben Saunders has been fighting as a professional for 18 years. He debuted in May of 2004, and I was like, so are you still looking to do some MMA fights? He's like, I am. He's like, I still got a couple left in me. He's like, I definitely want to keep doing grappling and that as much as I can, but I want to keep competing. And he's like, I think if I had to put a date on it, May 2024 would be the date that I'd say, let me take my last fight. 20 years, let me do 20 years in the business as a pro fighter.
Two more years.
And so I was like, good for you, man. He's 39 right now, so conceivable. He said, he said he'd actually like to do, if he could, he's like, best case scenario, if they let me have one more fight in the UFC just to kind of call it. He's like, I don't need to do the whole put my gloves in the center and all that. He's like, but just to go out in the UFC, that would be pretty awesome.
But if a guy's done his time that deserves that moment, it's like, that probably is
been
it.
Around, dude. He was in the Ultimate Fighter 6.
That is crazy.
30 is going
Who's
on
a,
right now.
You guys bringing anybody in for the grappling?
I don't think
call?
So. I don't. Not that I'm aware. I think
just
it's
you and Dean.
Yeah, I think it's just me and Dean as well.
So is Dean going to do the post fight interviews in the cage, or are you going to go in?
Not
he is going to
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Has he done that before?
Yeah. He's done it at some like other events.
Okay,
stuff.
I couldn't remember if I'd seen him go in there and do something like that before. I mean, I know I've seen him talk with guys before, but I couldn't remember if I've ever seen him in the ring. Well, good for him. That's cool.
I'm excited about
Dean's
it.
He's legit, man. That's a legit partner for sure.
We were on a production call the other day, talking through everything. And he signs in, and he's sitting at the radio studio with like the ESPN background in the background. I was like, oh, look at you, big timer!
Yeah.
I was like, can't just join in. Like now you got a big time. It's like, oh, excuse me, ESPN Radio is Dean Thomas here. So
where's my makeup?
Yeah,
where's makeup?
So looking forward to that. And then talk to Sean Brady as well. And Sean's like, and this was interesting, man. He was super. He's like, I am going to submit Ben Saunders 100%. He beat Craig Jones last time, but if you watch that match, a Craig Jones match is always a Craig Jones match, right? He's going to sit down. He's going to try to, get in on your legs. He's going to try to invert, that sort of thing. Sean never really engaged with him. It was a stalemate in a lot of ways. Sean ended up getting the decision win. Craig wasn't super
happy
about
it. I was going to say, because I thought you just said he submitted him. And I was like, did he submit
him? No, I got the decision win.
Decision.
But,
okay. Yeah.
And only Craig was real happy about it. And Sean admits, like, he's like, dude, look, it wasn't the most exciting fight. I'll give you that. He's
but
like,
he did what he had to do.
I did what I had to do. He's like, I saw the
fucking
rules.
Win over him.
That's it. He's like, I saw the rules, and I knew what I had to do, and I did that.
That's one guy that's paying attention to the rule set. I mean, a win over Jones is fucking nuts, man. You could hang that fucking on your mantle right there.
That's it. And this one, by the way, so it'll be a 10-minute. So everything on the card is no-gi. Sean and Ben will be at 185 pounds as well. So I'm kind of actually anxious to see what Sean looks like at 185, not having to cut, because he's already like a monster.
Man. He says he's going to submit. He's going to submit. He's good. He's really good. He's really good. But man, Ben's wily, man. You never can. I never count him out of an MMA fight. I don't know about that one.
Yeah. It's going to be a tough one. But, he's an Eddie Bravo black belt, so yeah. We'll see.
That's a really cool lineup of fighters crossing over to do that, man. That's a lot of big names.
I think we're going to do – hopefully we continue to do more of it, so I'm excited about it.
I bet you do.
Oh,
Daddy Paychecks.
Love it.
Sir, your pool is waiting for you at the soccer game. You're going to start going everywhere and expect somebody to put the pool out so you can just have your pool. Next thing you know, you're going to be ordering your groceries and picking them up, and they're going to lay a pool out for you, you know.
I like where you're looking. I like this vision you have, man. I want to make that happen. By the way, I did want to say, so I talked to Sean briefly about two kind of what.
You tell the Apex to put a pool in there for you.
Oh, my God. That'd be hilarious.
They're like, John, your press row pool is ready. We made sure the water was slightly warm.
I'm sitting there.
I mean, if you want, we could put the ripple machine on for you.
Just sitting there typing up stuff with my feet.
Your feet in a little baby kiddie pool.
Oh, hilarious.
I might be with just to fuck with you. Sitting underneath your desk.
That's a fun experience if you got to go. Boy, I'm telling you.
You guys all look very happy.
You should go Saturday. You're here. I'm not. You should go Saturday. Go get your crew together. Go get some pitch side pool.
My crew. You're one half of my crew. Like, if you're gone, like, who else do I have left? That's right. I remember seeing your nachos. I did tweet back in your thing. Did you have jalapenos and nachos?
Come on, dog.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, come on.
Okay, please.
If you get ballpark nachos and you don't get jalapenos, you're talking
wrong.
About just some chips with some oozy cheese. I mean,
because they never usually give you enough cheese anyway. So I kind of need the jalapenos just to double up when you ran out of the cheese.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, come on.
Wow, man. Now you really did do it up. That's 1% life right there.
I got extra jalapenos. How about that?
Damn, sir.
Mr. Morgan, we have
Mr.
your extra
Martin,
jalapenos.
We have your extra jalapenos that you actually offered.
So crazy. Listen, by the way, Sean Brady, by the way, he wants a top 10 fight next time out. And he had surgery on his nose. So, you know, a lot of his last fight against Michael Chiesa, a lot of people were like, dude, he's sucking wind bad. Like, his cardio is going to be an issue. He's like, you know, a lot of people don't realize the first punch I took in the fight, it broke my nose.
No shit.
He's like, so I couldn't breathe through my nose. And he's like, and blood was just pouring down my throat the whole time. So I couldn't really breathe out of my mouth very well either. He's like, it sucked.
Wow.
But everybody's like, oh, your cardio sucks. He's like, I promise you, my cardio doesn't suck. He's like, I couldn't breathe at all. So he got his septum fixed or whatever. And so he's pretty excited about kind of getting back in there and showing that, like,
that's awesome.
Hey, I got cardio.
He's like, I'm not that fucking coffee guy that can't fucking run down the lap. I got cardio.
Not that guy.
How do you, Matt, man, taking a shot like that, knowing right from the get-go that your nose is busted and you're tasting your own blood in the back of your mouth.
I'm out.
Like, you're done.
I'm done.
Right? Like,
I'm out.
These people are wired differently
than us.
If my life does not depend on it, I'm going to go be a fucking baby in the side and be like, I'm done.
Like Mike, sorry, dog. My nose, bro.
I can't breathe. I'm out. Can I tap? I'm out. You know, like these men and women are a whole nother level, man. That's so gnarly to hear that and just think like, that happened right at the very, very beginning. And then they just shrug it off and then just get back in there.
As far as I'm concerned, it can be, you know, kind of a role model for you and for the adversity that you might have to deal with in your amateur fight when you're tested, when you're getting a bad position, you'll just think back to Sean Brady and, you know. Like, it's going to be rough.
It's going to be tough.
But I'm going to do fucking great.
It's going to be fucking great. It's such a funny – well, that mantra sucks, but I like it.
I love it. All right, listen. So after I do CFSC Friday and Saturday, then I'm flying home on Sunday, getting the wife and kid. We're going to go to T-Mobile Arena. We're going to go watch AEW. We're going to watch our man CM Punk wrestle. If anybody has gone to an AEW event or knows – like. I have no idea exactly like how to take this in? Like, if you got any tips on how to best enjoy this or how to best...
I would say don't look disgusted like it's all fake bullshit.
No, you gotta get into it and have fun. I mean,
because Eli's going to mirror what you do. If anything, maybe you'll just mirror what he does, because he'll probably get into it and be like, Dad, don't be a dead log.
He's
over
never
here.
Watched any of it, so I don't know. I don't know how he's going to react to it, because I've never really shown him pro wrestling.
But he's a fun kid. If he starts seeing everybody else get into it, he's going to get into it.
Yeah.
You know, that should be interesting. So all three of you are doing it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so the whole family's going. That's awesome. I have no, like I said, I've.
You should wear a luchador mask or something.
Get out of here.
Do you think people are going to recognize him and be like, Morgan? You might need to, you know, you're getting big time now. You might need to cover up a little bit.
Are you that guy with the Las Vegas Slides promotional?
Bro, you the guy that puts, you watch from a pool?
Yeah, it'd be interesting, right? Because, I mean, I think there's probably,
there's got to be a lot of MMA crossover,
right?
That could be cool for your kid to see if people do it, and then, like, when your kid's there. Who doesn't want to be, big man
with kids around? It is pretty funny, actually. So, I will say, that makes me feel pretty good when people come up and say. But it is – so, my kid has been around me in group settings, a couple times. It's always been, MMA environment, because that's all I really do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, people are like, oh, John. So my kid thinks I know, everybody in the world. And it's like, no, I just know everybody in, this one little tiny world,
right.
You know what I mean? It was funny at a Las Vegas Lights game one time. As soon as the game was over, one of the players walked over to our pool and was like, "You're that UFC guy, right?" And
"That's awesome."
Yeah, that's bizarre.
He's like, "I heard your voice all the way over there."
He was on the other side.
I was gonna go for a header, and then I heard you call me a jackass.
So I'm excited to see my man CM Punk wrestle. I've never seen him wrestle. I saw his comeback, but. But that was about it. So I certainly haven't seen him in person. So I'm excited to see that. And I've seen some clips and stuff like that. But
it's amazing the fan love for him. Watching that shit on TV
is so cool.
So happy for him. So yeah, and I'm sure I'm sure that'll be a really cool moment for you to see him in his element where everybody's just going goo goo and gaga over him.
He's
good for him.
Yeah.
It's funny. I remember when he first made his debut over in the UFC. I mean, I knew that the dude did wrestling, but I had no idea how big of a star he was.
Me neither.
So it's kind of cool that even when he stepped away for, 2 years?
Several years.
3 years? Something like
Longer
a few
than
years.
That.
For them to just immediately open arms right back into it, man. That's pretty cool.
That scene of him coming back in Chicago was
pretty cool.
That was pretty cool, man. That was giving me chills. I wasn't even there, dude.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I'm excited. So if anybody's got any tips or things I need to watch out for, maybe you're a big AEW fan and you're like, because I don't know who else is on the card. If you're like, hey, you're going to like this one. Do I stay and watch every match or do I walk around a little bit?
Where are your seats at?
I have no idea. My man Punk.
You're going to have good seats then. Hopefully put you near a walkout sort of thing.
He'll just to jack with me. He'll sit me way back up in the...
he'll get you good ones. He'll get you good ones so you could actually enjoy the walkout stuff where they're coming down. They still come down the ramp or whatever. They'll probably
The big in stage.
They have the big ramp that comes down and then you'll be off to the side. I bet you have good... You might get some TV time. You might need to wear an appropriate shirt, something fun.
A couple frosty beverages?
Yeah, we should get shirts that say Frosty Beverages.
I thought about going in, going to Las Vegas Fight Shop and getting a CM Punk shirt, but I've been so busy.
That would be outrageous.
Roll down, that would be awesome. But then I feel like a such a poser, you know what I mean?
But that's part of the fun.
Yeah.
That's part of the fun. I think he would totally get a kick out of it because I think he would understand that you're just embracing it and having fun. He knows you're not like, oh my God, this is CM Punk. This is my shirt. He knows you're in on the fun with that. I would think that he would take it. I think he would take it as a very a nice gesture, but also he would get a kick out of it because he's like, this motherfucker doesn't really want to wear my shirt. But he's just doing it because he knows I might see it, you know?
Yeah.
And plus the fun thing is even if you did happen to get on a broadcast or whatever, that's a fun image that you could always use and tease around with him forever or something.
Or maybe I should get his opponent's shirt and just boo the hell out of him.
Even better.
Even better. Worst in the world.
Wow. Dress the whole family. Either maybe the son can have Punk or just do the whole family in the opponent.
I don't know what's better.
They both sound pretty good. But that, as soon as you said that, I was like, Well, yeah, I like that area.
I mean,
I like
it's
that
pro wrestling,
idea.
Like, we just kind of play a role, right? But I, like I mean, that. I really would want to wear a shirt and support my guy. Punk's become a good friend of
both,
mine.
So. I think both would be – I think he would get a kick out of both of them. I think if you wore a shirt, he'd get a kick out. And
I wonder if I wore his opponents in Bloom, I wonder if I could get him, like, break character and laugh. Or like, I wonder if he would just, like, crack up when he saw me, like, bro, you don't even know whose shirt you're wearing yeah. right now. You're just messing with me.
Yeah. You get like I'm with dummy shirt for Eli or something.
Too funny. So I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be a fun That's weekend. Fun. I'm flying out tomorrow. Like I said, for anybody that wants to watch, please do Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern on USC Fight Pass for CFSC 109, and then 6 p.m. Eastern on Saturday for Fury Grappling 4, which we really enjoy doing the grappling. So. That's what I got going on. And then Sunday, I guess, if you're buying the pay-per-view, look for me and the family on from the nosebleeds wearing
you're not going to be in the nosebleeds, bro.
Wearing Punk's opponent shirt.
You should. You have to have a shirt. I bet you're going to be in front row.
I don't know.
If Punk arranged or helped get the tickets, you got to have good seats. That's like
just
going.
Happy to be in the building, sir.
That's it. I mean, I guess there's a lot of dudes on it. It'd be like, you know, getting like – access to Dana's tickets, and not everybody can be in the front row.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's awesome, man. That'll be a lot of fun. But you got to wear a shirt. If you don't wear his or his opponent's shirt, I would be very, very let down. Because now it's in my head. Now it's stuck in my head, and it chuckles the shit out of me. I think it would be really good. I think it'd be fun. But nobody's tell a secret. Don't leak that, because if you wear it, it's got to be a surprise.
That'd be pretty funny.
It's got to be a surprise,
especially if it's his opponent. Oh, man. It'll be too good. All right, listen. Look, not a lot of fights to talk about since it's Memorial Day weekend, but we'll be back next week, of course, and the schedule starts cranking up again. Fight night.
Back at it.
Then Singapore. Then so several other items going on. It's going to be a busy schedule, and, you know, we appreciate you joining us for all of it, and thanks for listening.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.